It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Good morning to you. Hope you all are doing well on a hump day. This week is going by pretty fast so far, and I am a fan of it because guess what? We are already, as I just said, on Wednesday, and that means we are on our second edition of a West Georgia Wednesday. Now, if you're new to the program, shouts out to you for tuning in. Thank you. Follow me at underscore Dylan Matthews. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. But if you're like, what is this man talking about, West Georgia Wednesday? I'm talking about West Georgia Wednesday because that's what today is, because I am a proud alum of the University of West Georgia, and the girl holding it down behind the glass, Noelle White, is also a proud graduate of the University of West Georgia. So two wolves in the house, two wolves holding it down, two wolves keeping Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the air right now. Noelle, what's up?
What's going on this morning, Dylan? You know, I got some of that fresh Carrollton air yesterday. I was out there for a lecture I thought I was attending, but Sean and Michael said hello.
What's up, Sean and Michael? So wait, you got to explain this to me a little bit more. You were out there for a lecture that you didn't actually attend?
No. So Michael was kind enough to invite me to a lecture about Atlanta being the black mecca and how complicated that is.
Okay. And we're talking about Michael Tucker, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And that was a thesis statement of mine for my senior projects. He was like, you might want to come out and check it out. But he told me a day too early. It's not till this morning.
Wow. So wait. Are you going back out there or you're not going to have time?
Oh, I'm not going to make it.
Oh, okay. What time is it supposed to be at, like 8 or something?
11 a.m.
So 11 a.m.
Right in the middle of my sleep spot.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's dead. Noel finna be sleep. Ain't nobody making that hour and a half drive when she's supposed to be sleep, so I don't even blame you. But, you know, maybe they can record it for you or something and then send it to you. So we'll see. But, no, that's cool, though, that you were out there. Did you what did you do anything else while you were out there? You were just like, dang, okay, no lecture. I'm finna go ahead and hit the road back. Or did you kick it over there for a little bit?
Yeah, I took my best friend with me because he graduated. He's also an alum. Graduated, okay. You know, before me. So I was showing him around the campus at all the stuff we had paid for back in 08. So, yeah.
Is anything new on that campus since, like, you've been there? Like, so you were there a good couple of years before me because I graduated in 18. So
yeah.
So what's new to you may not be new to me, but was there anything that was new to you that you noticed?
I couldn't figure out where Watson was supposed to be into, like.
Oh, I think they. Did
Richard College of Business, yeah.
Okay.
That's basically where, it took me like forever to realize that that's where it was. East Commons, that's nice. We definitely didn't have that.
Well, we had East Commons when I was there, yeah.
Yeah, so
it
that
was like, when I got there, East Commons was like basically brand new.
Yeah. He got there and he was looking like I was when I first got back. Like, what is all this stuff? I'm like, yeah, they got it good, man. They eating good over there in West Georgia. So shout out to the Wolves.
Shout out to the Wolves one time. Last question for you, Noah. When's the last time you had been back?
Ooh, 2017, I think.
Okay.
So right before you got up out of there.
Right before I got up out of there. So that's what's up. Well, Noel, thank you for holding it down. Good morning to you. And shout out to another West Georgia Wednesday. So, again, we're going to have fun here on our West Georgia Wednesdays. Shout out to Noel again. But we got to talk some sports because a lot went down yesterday in the sports world. Not only in the state of Georgia, the city of Atlanta, but the whole entire sports world. But this is the Hometown Take, so we're going to focus mainly on what happened locally. And a lot went down locally. First and foremost, I have officially realized that I am in a toxic relationship. The Atlanta Hawks and I have a toxic relationship. It's one of those relationships where it's like, man, I hate you. And then it's like, nah, I really love you, though. Because, again, the Atlanta Hawks get back to 500, and they have now spent 30 straight games, either at 500, a game under 500, or a game over 500. 30 straight games like that. And in case you are wondering, yes, that is an NBA record. The previous record was 24. So we're going to at least add one more game to that because we're at 500 now. And win or lose on Friday against the Brooklyn Nets, which is a big game. We'll get to that later. We're going to be either a game under or a game over 500 come Friday. So it's going to be 31 games for sure. So we're just adding on to our little old NBA record. Not sure that's one I would like to have, but, you know, I digress. But the Atlanta Hawks showed you, showed me, why we feel the way we feel about the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks showed us last night why we get so frustrated with this team. Because they give us performances like the one last night. They show us our true potential, or show us their true potential, I should say. And it's like, where are these Hawks all season? Why can't we get performances like the one they had last night or better all season? Because they played pretty well last night. And guess what? They played pretty well despite some adversity. I'm going to give you a stat. If you all don't know, I'll give you a little factoid about me when it comes to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before I was hosting the Hometown Take every morning, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and producing the morning shift, which is coming up at 6 a.m., I was the producer for the John Chuckery Show. John Chuckery laid out a nice stat last night, and I'm going to go ahead and give you that stat now as I pull it up. But Trae Young did not have his best game last night, and here was the stat from John Chuckery. The Hawks were 0-6 before last night when Trae had four or less field goals made. 2 of 9 in the last 2 years with four or less field goals made, and 12 and 38 for Trae Young's entire career when he makes four or less field goals. Trae Young last night obviously had four or less field goals made. So the Hawks faced some adversity. History says the Hawks weren't supposed to win that game. Trae Young last night, 4 of 15, 2 of 3 from 3, 16 points, 10 assists. So the Hawks weren't supposed to win that game last night, history says. But they did. They found a way to get it done. DeJounte Murray hit a big shot. He got cooking in the first half, came on strong in the final moments of the game, obviously hit that big fadeaway shot over Caris LeVert, then had a nice contest on Donovan Mitchell's three. Trae Young hit some big shots, even though it wasn't his best night. But not only that, he did an amazing job, in my opinion, facilitating, not forcing the issue, not taking bad shots, understanding that, hey, tonight's not my night, but I have talent around me. I'm going to let my guys eat. And that's exactly what happened. DeJounte Murray, as I just alluded to, 29 points. He also had three steals, I believe, two steals, five assists, four rebounds, 3 of 7 from three, 11 of 22 from the field. Onyeka Okongwu, off the bench, by the way, tied his career high, 21 points, 5 of 5 from the field, 9 rebounds, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. I see you, double O. Sadiq Bey, 11 big points off the bench, 4 of 8 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3, 12 points for Bogey. He hit 3 threes, 4 of 8 from the field. So Trae Young, even though he wasn't going, still contributed highly to this game because he facilitated and let his guys eat. And that is what I like to see. Trae, you don't have to be the highest scorer every night. Your shot doesn't have to be falling every night because Trae Young is one of the best passers in the National Basketball Association. Trae Young, by the way, leads the league in total assists again this year. He did it last year too. So Trae Young is a very, very good passer, and he can be a very, very good facilitator when he wants to be, but sometimes he presses the issue. He didn't do that last night, so it didn't matter that he only made 4 field goals. Usually it does because maybe he tries to press a little bit, do a little too much, shoot himself out of the slump he may be going through, which is okay to do sometimes. But when you have the talent that Trae has around him, you don't have to do that. And he understood that last night, and I think he played very well. So kudos to Trae Young. Again, I'm going to give Trae Young his credit when he deserves it, and I'm going to give him his criticism when he deserves it. That's only fair. But Trae Young, even though the numbers weren't very good last night, did a great job facilitating, did a great job being the point guard. So big win for the Hawks last night. Through some adversity, through Trae Young not having his best night offensively, not having his best night shooting the ball, still got the job done. And last night was also a big night for the Hawks, and last night was also a big win because guess what? The Toronto Raptors won. They beat the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler, but still beat the Heat. And if the Hawks would have lost last night, they would have found themselves in 9th place this morning. And we would have been having a totally different conversation right about now. So, great win for the Atlanta Hawks last night. And look, at this point, can you just give me 2 of those performances in a row? Let's just start there. Let's just start with 2 in a row. Can we do that? Can we have another performance equal to or greater to the one we had last night? Can we play like that or maybe even a little bit better than that on Friday against the Brooklyn Nets? Because I'm going to get into this at 5:40, but there is still a path for the Hawks to get the 6th seed and avoid the play-in tournament, believe it or not. That's still an avenue. There's still a way. So, the Hawks, all big games coming up these final 6 games of the season. All right, coming up next, we are going to go around the A. You already know what time it is. Arthur Smith doubled down on Desmond Ridder. Terry Fontenot got the starting QB some help. And Arthur Blank told you why they ain't into Lamar like that for real. We'll talk about that. The Braves won their final spring training game of the Grapefruit League year. And now, next up, the Washington Nationals in D.C., and it's going to be for real. We'll go around the A next. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Fix. Let's go. This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios. I'm giving you the Hometown Take this morning. Thank you for tuning in, spending either your Wednesday morning with me or maybe your Tuesday night. Shout out to all my third shifters out there, all my truck drivers, calling it a day. But before we went to break, I was talking about my toxic relationship with the Atlanta Hawks. They have the talent. They can be so good. And that Cleveland Cavaliers team that they beat last night, was it slightly shorthanded? Yes. No Isaac Okoro. More importantly, no Jared Allen. So, yeah, they were missing some key guys. But Donovan Mitchell was still there. I ain't get to tell you his stats before the break. But guess what? He went off. Donovan Mitchell went off with a couple of Fs. 44 points. 5 of 12 from 3. 15 of 33. He kept them in the game at the end. Knocking down big shots. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is that dude. He's clutch. If you listened to the show yesterday morning, I was telling you, Donovan Mitchell has not missed the playoffs in his entire NBA career. Not once. Not 1 year has he missed the playoffs. And also a cool little nugget too about last night. First time Quinn Snyder coached against Donovan Mitchell. So Quinn talked about him in his post-game presser, talked about, you know, just the type of player he is on and off the court, just giving him high praise, which Donovan Mitchell does deserve. But if you think about it, really only a couple of guys were the scorers for the Cavaliers last night. Hawks did a good job of kind of shutting everybody else down. 44 points for Donovan Mitchell, 27 for Darius Garland, 20 for Evan Mobley, 9 points for Ricky Rubio. But as far as double figures go, it was only Mitchell, Garland, and Evan Mobley. So even without Jared Allen still, though, the Cavaliers gave the Hawks everything they could handle. And I'm telling you, you don't want to see the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs. They are going to be a tough out. They'll be a tough out for Milwaukee. They'll be a tough out for Boston. They'll be a tough out for Philly. So the Cavaliers, very, very good squad. But the Hawks got a good squad too. And they just showed you they did because they beat a good squad last night. So, man, every time I'm like, okay, you know what? I've come to terms with what this season is going to be for the Atlanta Hawks. They go and do something like they did last night. Have a good performance, and they just reel me back in. And that's why our relationship is toxic. But the Hawks weren't the only team that were in action last night, and they weren't the only team making headlines last night in the city of Atlanta, in the state of Georgia. So without further ado, let's visit those other teams and go around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
The Braves finished up their Grapefruit League season, finished up their spring training yesterday with a 7-5 win over the Boston Red Sox. Finished Grapefruit League play 18-10 actually. 7-5 win, like I said, over the Red Sox. If you are curious, Orlando Arcia hit a home run. Andrianza, Arcia, Ozzy Albies, Michael Harris all had RBIs for the Bravos yesterday. And look, the Braves are ready. They are ready to go. So hopefully get off to a good start on Thursday. And I saw this on Twitter. I believe they haven't won an opening day game since 2018 against the Philadelphia Phillies when Nick Markakis walked it off in what now is Truist Park. Back then it was SunTrust Park still. So it's been a minute since the Braves have won on opening day. So hopefully they can break that streak and get a win tomorrow. So we're going to have some special opening day coverage for you tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So make sure you are locked and loaded and listening for that. So the Braves, good win yesterday. Hopefully they stay hot and continue their winning ways into the regular season because that's where we're at now. Opening day is tomorrow. Are you ready? I'm hyped up, man. I can't wait to start watching the Braves again. Can't wait to get out to some games. It's feeling like it's going to be a good season for the Atlanta Braves. All right, let's get to some audio because Arthur Smith doubled down on Desmond Ridder. What do I mean by that? Not only did he tell a slew of reporters at the NFL's annual meeting, but he also had a one-on-one sit-down with NFL Network Steve Wyche, and he talked about Desmond Ridder being the starting quarterback, and he talked about Desmond Ridder being the guy. Let's listen in to Arthur Smith.
A veteran, but, you know, Desmond Ridder, a guy right. who you guys have groomed. You saw him play for a few games last year. What has Ridder shown you as to where, you know, you're going to give him an opportunity to compete for that starting job?
Right, absolutely. Well, really, when we drafted Desmond, you know, he sat behind Marcus. Mm. Certainly, if we thought going into week one, if he was ready to go and he had played better than Marcus, we would have played him. But it allowed us to bring him along. We didn't feel like we had to rush him, or we wouldn't have certainly adapted to give us the best chance to win. So, times, you know, timing and luck, you know, they help you a little bit. And we had a unique opportunity to end the season, and felt Desmond was ready. We thought that was the best thing for the team, and certainly I thought he improved week after week. He was very, very effective on third and fourth down, and you saw those last 2 weeks, growth he made from his first start to really his third and fourth. We're excited about it. We know Taylor coming in is a guy that gives you a chance to win. He understands his role, and with a plan to go into the season with Desmond as our starter. So we're very excited. Certainly helps that Taylor you know, grew up down the road as well.
There you have it. Desmond Ridder is the guy. You heard it from the head coach himself. Desmond Ridder is going to be the starting quarterback. So when I stop talking about Lamar on this station, y'all don't get mad at me, because in my opinion, the Falcons getting Lamar Jackson is no longer a story to me. It is no longer an idea that should cross your mind. The head football coach has told you that Desmond Ridder is the starting quarterback, and that is the plan for the season. So it ain't my words anymore. It's Arthur's. I told you that was probably going to happen, and I told you that was the way to go. But if you don't believe me, you just heard the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons tell you himself. And if you still don't believe it, I'll let you hear even better, one better. Here is Arthur Blank on Lamar Jackson.
Well, I would say that, you know, anytime you have a player of that stature that comes, you know, to the free agency market, I think every team, I would say every team, but I would say, you know, pretty much, you know, most teams would certainly, you know, look at Lamar as you know, as an opportunity. I think we look at our situation. We've come out of an era where, you know, 25% and heading to north of that was going to be tied up with one player. And that, you know, as I said earlier in the broadcast, is that that put us in a position where we couldn't do two things. We couldn't build out and build up our roster across the board, not only in depth for depth, but also for frontline starters. And, you know, it's having a quarterback that can play competitively is critical. But so it is, you know, you have to have a good defense, you have to have a competitive offense, et cetera, be able to move the ball, stop the ball, et cetera. So I think, you know, part of our recognition was that we had a lot of work, you know, to do in that regard. I think probably most importantly for us is that, you know, we drafted this young man, Desmond Ridder, last year in the third round, and I think he's continued to show everything that we expected of him, and maybe beyond that, to the point that Coach Smith and the staff, and including Terry and Rich, and we all feel comfortable that he should be our starter going into this next year. And we've got a really good young backup, Taylor Heineke, who you know, lives in Atlanta and drives to work in 7 minutes, and is a really qualified backup to support Desmond as well. And that, you know, and that makes a lot of sense for us. And, you know, we want to be able to sign our own and to be able to be active in free agency across the board and continue to draft well. And then when players are ready to consider free agency, we want to make sure that they stay at home. You know, we want to be able to keep them at home if that's our decision.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? He said, with our situation, it's probably best if we don't go after Lamar. He didn't say that word for word, but basically what he was saying was they just came out of a situation where 25%, and it was going north of that, 25% of their cap space was dedicated to one player. And when that happens, he told you, you can't do a couple of things. You can't add depth to the roster, and you can't build the rest of the team. And they felt like that they want to re-sign their own players. They want to be able to be buyers in free agency, and they want to be able to build the rest of the team. What have I been telling you all offseason long? I told you the Falcons want to build the rest of the team. They want to build around Desmond Ridder. They want to build up the team first, add some depth, and that's the right move. So next time you tell me that why didn't the Falcons go after Lamar Jackson? They should have went after Lamar. I ain't going to explain to you no more. I'm not explaining nothing no more about Lamar Jackson. I'm going to download that Arthur Blank clip, and I'm just going to send it to you. I'm going to tweet at you, ask you for your email address, and I'm going to send you that clip. And I'm going to be like, listen to it. Because I'm tired of saying it. Arthur Blank said it for you. Arthur Blank said everything I've been saying this whole entire offseason. So I'm glad Mr. Blank said that. It's not the right time, not the right move. He also said the Deshaun Watson situation last year is very different from the Lamar Jackson situation this year. Different time, different player, which is all accurate. So don't hit me with, oh, but they went after Deshaun Watson. That was last year. Things change, rearrange, okay? Real quick before we wrap up around the A. Talked about the Atlanta Hawks at the top of the show. They got a big win. DeJounte Murray spoke after the game, and he talks about what it took to get the victory last night.
Make a play and rise up, take a contested shot. That's when his mid-range game is so important, you know, during those times, because that's, you know, he's able to rise up and use his length.
There you go. That was Quinn Snyder on DeJounte's mid-range game. It's great for big moments. And it is, because in those key moments when you just need a two, you might not necessarily need a three. The mid-range game is a lost art. And few players still dabble in the mid-range. DeMar DeRozan, Carmelo Anthony when he was in the league, Dwayne Wade, Kobe, the great players always had the mid-range, always stuck with their mid-range game, and always went to their mid-range game in clutch moments. DeJounte Murray is one of those players that has a great mid-range game and uses it and can get to it at will. He did that last night, hit a big shot over Caris LeVert. One more quickly before we go to break here on Around the A. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the hometown take with your boy Dylan Matthews. One more from the Atlanta Hawks. This is DeJounte Murray on what it took to get the win last night over the Cavs.
Just knowing that, you know, we're in a must-win situation, you know, trying to just control the Atlanta Hawks, executing the offense and defense in. And, you know, one thing, like I said to you guys before, you know, Coach Quinn's very vocal and, you know, his spirits is always high. So, you know, like I said, we was came out ready to play for 48 minutes, and we got a great win.
They sure did get a great win, and you heard DeJounte say it there. They knew it was a must win. They knew they had to come out and beat the Cavs. They knew what was on the line. They knew the Raptors and the Heat were playing. Those players know. They don't pay attention to it too much to where it's a distraction from the main goal, winning games for their team, but they know what's going on the outside. They know the standings. They know who's playing who. They knew they had to get that win last night to hold their AC. They knew that was a must win, and they got the job done, and that was a big part of thanks to DeJounte Murray. So that is Around the A with your boy Dylan Matthews on the Hometown Take. When we come back, we'll keep this Hawks conversation going, because there is a way for the Atlanta Hawks somehow to still avoid the play-in tournament and get that sixth seed. It's far-fetched, probably not going to happen, but we'll go over the scenario just in case it does. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
First look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios. Gonna talk to the morning shift here in about 15 minutes or so. But I teased it before we went to break. The Atlanta Hawks, somehow, some way. Ooh, I had to let that drop real quick. Okay. And I admire you. All right, let me stop singing before people start turning off their radios. This dude's singing? Stop it. We came to listen to you talk, not try to hit some high note that you can't hit. Low-key, though, I have a range. I'm not going to do it on the air, but I got a range I can hit where I can hold a note. A little bit. Humble brag. Anywho. The Atlanta Hawks can somehow, some way, still avoid the playing round and get the sixth seed. Now, the scenario I'm about to give you, probably not going to happen. Not even because of the fact that the Hawks can't get done what they need to do in this scenario, but I don't believe these other teams are going to fall off the way they would have to in the last six games for this scenario to happen. So this is not a slight on the Hawks when I say that this scenario is probably not going to happen. It's more so of a compliment to the other teams involved in this scenario that I don't think they're going to go on a stretch like they would need to go on for this scenario to come true. And shout out to Mike Conti. He tweeted this out. If the Hawks finish the season with 3 wins in their last 6 games, so the Hawks in this scenario have to win 3 of their last 6, which is very much doable. So again, I think the Hawks can and will win 3 of their last 6. I mean, they're 14-14 in their last 28. So in their last 6, I think they'll go 500. Or they'll at least go 500 from what we've seen all season. They've been 500 all year. They're 500 right now. So I think they'll go 500 in their last 6. But this is what else has to happen. The Nets have to go 1-5. Now, the Hawks can jumpstart that a little bit because their next game is against the Brooklyn Nets on Friday. And you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Atlanta Hawks Radio Network. We are the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks. Mike Conti, pregame, halftime, and post. Steve Holman, legendary voice of the Atlanta Hawks on the call. Pregame at 7, tip at 7:30. That game is in Brooklyn. Brooklyn! So the Nets have to go 1-5. The Heat would have to go 0-6. Now, they did lose to the Raptors last night, but they didn't have Jimmy Butler. And if I had to guess, I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to miss the rest of the season. And if I had to guess, the Miami Heat probably not losing the rest of their ball games. As a matter of fact, just because I'm curious, let's see what the remaining schedule for the Miami Heat looks like. Rest of the schedule for the Heat. They play the Knicks tonight. Then they play the Mavericks, the Pistons, probably not going to lose that game. Probably won't lose to the Mavericks either. The Mavericks are spiraling down at this point. So probably won't lose to the Mavs, probably won't lose to the Pistons, probably won't lose to the Wizards, probably won't lose to the Magic, their last game of the season. So the Knicks is kind of a toss-up game. Probably won't lose to the Mavs, probably won't lose to the Pistons. 76ers might win that, depending on if they still are playing for seeding or not, or if the 76ers are locked into the 3 seed at that point. So that'll be interesting to see. But again, the Heat have to go 0-6. in this scenario. But again, remember, this is only if the Hawks go 3-6, or 3-3, excuse me, in their last six. So if the Hawks have a better record, then the Heat don't have to go 0-6. But sticking to this scenario, the Heat have to go 0-6. I don't think they will based on this schedule. Their last two games of the season are the Wizards and the Magic. No shade, just truth. They'll win a game against the Wizards or the Magic, if not both. Probably both. So again, that's why I said this scenario, a little bit hard to imagine it's going to happen. Shout out to my man J-Dub, Jonathan Walker. He just tweeted me, don't ever hit that high note again. I'm sorry, J-Dub. I was feeling the music, man. I was feeling it. But going back to the scenario, so the Nets have to go 1-5. The Heat have to go 0-6. The Hawks have to win 3 of their last 6. The Raptors need to go 3-3 or worse. That's very much possible. And the Bulls have to go 4-3 or worse. Again, very much possible. To me, I don't see the Brooklyn Nets going 1-5 in their last 6, and I definitely do not see the Miami Heat going 0-6 in their last 6 games. I just do not think that's going to happen whatsoever. So again, it's not that I don't think the Hawks are going to win 3 of their last 6. I do actually think they'll at least win 3 of their last 6 because they've been going 500 all year. They're 14-14 in their last 28. They're 38-38 right now. And they've spent now an NBA record 30 games within one game of 500, either at 500, one game below, or one game above 500. So that scenario, probably not going to happen. Wouldn't hold your breath if I'm you. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened. But the Hawks probably going to have to take care of business in the NBA play-in tournament. We didn't get to all of the sound I wanted to get to in around the A when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks. So let's, while we're talking about the Atlanta Hawks, let's get to some more Atlanta Hawks sound if we can. Trae Young talked about this at the top. He did not have his best shooting night, and he really did not have that great of a first half. 5 turnovers for Trae Young in the first half, but guess what? Only 1 in the second half. Really turned it around. Again, his shooting didn't get better. He knocked down a couple of big shots, but his shooting didn't really get better. He finished 4-15. His shot was not falling all night. But the facilitation was there. The decision-making got better. And he did other things besides scoring the basketball to help the Atlanta Hawks win that ball game. And Quinn Snyder praised him for that after the game. So let's listen to Quinn Snyder talking about Trae only having 1 turnover in the second half, plus them get the Hawks getting other contributions from guys was big for that win last night.
You know, I thought, you know, Trae with 1 turnover in the second half was a big deal. You know, he was really letting the game come to him, and DeJounte was making plays. I thought JC had a big play late. We had contributions from a lot of guys, you know, when he got in the pocket and made that pass. So good things all around.
There you go. Trae Young, again, he is so talented. He doesn't have to score every night to affect the basketball game in a positive way. And he showed that last night. So hopefully we get the Trae Young we got in the second half, plus maybe a little bit better shooting. Hopefully we get that throughout the rest of the season. Again, there's so much talent on this team. He doesn't have to press if his shot's not falling. Just let your other guys eat. Let Bogey eat. Let Onyeka eat. Let DeJounte Murray eat. That's what we brought him in for, to take pressure off of you. So we'll see if the Hawks can string some wins together and maybe at least get to the 7th seed. We shall see. But coming up next, in about 5 minutes, we're going to check in with the morning shift, see how they're doing on a hump day. Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, Tiffany Blackman, we're going to check in with them. They got a big morning up ahead, and we'll find out why next. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios. Final moments here on the Hometown Take. Thank you for listening on a hump day. And we have the people of the hour. The morning shift is in the building. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson in the house, ready to chop it up, talk all things sports, have a little fun. How we doing this morning, y'all?
How's your show going, dude?
It's going great.
I caught a good chunk of it today and heard you kind of going in on some Hawk stuff. And
yeah.
You kind of talked yourself through it because you were like, I'm going to talk about Trae Young when I need to, and I'm going to be rough about him when I need to.
That's fair.
Which one were you today is my question.
I was more on the side of Trae played well last night because I think he did. The Hawks as a whole played well. Trae faced some adversity. 5 turnovers in the first half, but only had 1 in the second half. I think he played very well in the second half. He bounced back. What I liked most from Trae Young last night, he didn't force the issue, in my opinion. He didn't press.
That was the best part of his game.
He trusted his guys. Yeah. He trusted his guys last night. He was more of a facilitator, realized his shot wasn't falling, and he let DeJounte do his thing, let Onyeka do his thing, and let the other guys eat. So, and he can do that every night.
So you think he played well, not because he didn't hit a shot from the floor in the entire first half.
That's why I asked which way he was going. Because like, you think he played well because he stayed out of the way.
But because he showed maturity.
He showed maturity.
And he led the team in a different way last night.
Correct.
I think that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to disagree. I think me and Mike were talking earlier at the water machine, and we were talking about Quinn's comments about Trae and how he was it him and DeJounte connected or
yeah,
something?
The connectivity
for me, because he asked me what I thought about that, and I was like, well, for me, it's basically got out of the way. DeJounte was hot, and so he helped DeJounte stay hot, and DeJounte hit those two shots down the stretch.
And that's what I liked about it. He had 10 assists, so immediately when I'm looking at the 16 points, it's like, okay, well, what else did he do? Let me go over to the box score and check that out. And, yeah, he facilitated.
And the 10 assists are great, but I think even besides the 10 assists, him just facilitating and getting the ball movement started. So he might have not gotten every assist, even though he did have 10. He mightn't have gotten on every assist, but he started the ball movement. Like Bo said, he put the ball in the hot hands of DeJounte Murray, or he found a way to get 00 the ball when he was hot. Obviously, 00 knocked down 11 free throws, 11 out of 12, and had a tied his career high with 21 points. So I just like that he understood it wasn't his night offensively, but he found a different way to affect the game in a positive way.
That green tea slapping this morning, isn't it?
Actually, funny story about that. So my girlfriend got tired of me stealing all the tea, so I had to go buy my own last night, and I needed to re-up on my honey. So I got this black tea. And this black tea,
I set you up. Different. I know you're, you know, what would Steak tell us right now? This is our show, but I had to get the green tea comment.
This is black tea though. This black tea hit different. And it got a lightning bolt on the box.
Oh my God.
And it says on the box that it has as much caffeine as 1 cup of coffee. Why? So you already know what I am. I'm zooted and booted.
Why are you yelling at me?
I know.
Why are you yelling right now?
Because I'm zooted and booted.
You know what? We got a big show today. Steve Smith joins us at 8 a.m. That's the Steve Smith from a former Panther receiver, NFL Network, 4-time, I think.
Cut
All-Pro.
To it, his podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to probably – I'll probably piss him off at some point. He'll yell at me. But, hey, you know what? It's all good.
Don't make Steve Smith mad. He will come through the phone and fight you.
Again, stop yelling at me.
That was just me projecting my voice. And now I'm projecting the morning shift, having a great show, because that's what they're going to do. Big show. Obviously, they just told you Steve Smith coming on at 8 a.m., and they got a whole bunch of good stuff to get to. So thank you for tuning in to the Hometown Take this morning. The morning shift is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.